Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And this morning we have a really special guest, Chris Parks. He traveled a long ways to get here.
A long drive.
Yeah. Good morning and thanks so much, Chris, for coming in this morning to talk about birds. I think this is a good season to talk about birds. And my first question actually is about the bluebirds, because I know you take care of a lot of bluebird boxes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely that time of year where a lot of things start to change. You get all kinds of animals. Obviously, the springtime is kind of there, you know, getting back after it, and then start to get into that breeding process as well. And migrations hit pretty hard here recently for birds in particular. And yeah, they'll start to do their thing here pretty soon with getting nests in those nest boxes.
So if other people have bluebird houses, this is the time to be cleaning them out?
Yes, yeah. If you haven't already done so, you need to get out there and check those out and get them cleaned out and ready to go once again. It usually doesn't take, you know, a whole lot. It's just getting the material that's in there out, and then just taking the, usually what I do is take a simple spray bottle with me, and you can use a little bit of diluted dish soap if you want to do that to make it a little bit cleaner that first time around. And then just I have a hard bristle brush that I just kind of, you know, go around all the cracks and crevices as much as I can, and you know they're not too picky, so once you get it semi-clean, then you're good to go.
And do they kind of remember? I mean, do some of the same birds you think come back to same boxes?
Yeah, most of the research suggests that they'll nest in similar areas. It may not be exactly where they nested the year before, but it's usually within a pretty close proximity radius. They usually tend to come back the same parts of the country every year.
Okay, and as I recall, you take care of the ones in Anita, maybe at the park?
Yes.
And how many are there?
Yep, we have 26 nest boxes at Lake Anita State Park, and they're all paired. So there's two at each location, so I don't have as many locations, but I've got
13 stops.
The two, yeah. And the reason that we do that, and we actually recommend that people do that if they're doing it on their own as well, is because it gives you a higher chance of having a success rate. Bluebirds will... of course, our cavity nesters, they need to find that space, but they do have a lot of competition, and that's one of the reasons why this all began as a conservation effort, was to put up boxes for bluebirds, because there is so much out there, especially number one being house sparrows. They're, you know, most of them are invasive species, we call, because we were started in Europe and they got over here, and then now they're taking over areas that bluebirds would have been nesting before. But if you put up those two boxes, the reason that helps is because even if you get, say, maybe not necessarily a house sparrow, because you want to try to avoid them having nest at all, but a tree swallow, for example, they will also nest in bluebird boxes, and I fledge a lot of tree swallows every year as well. Mm. But they'll coincide right next to each other with bluebirds. They don't mind each other being next to each other. Now, it's within the same species, they're going to be territorial. So one bluebird's nesting, he's not going to let another bluebird family move next door. So that's why we put up the two boxes. You know, say the swallow gets one of them first, that's okay. There's still another one there that bluebird could nest in as well.
Okay. Well, we're going to come back and talk a little more generally about birds, but since we're on bluebirds, I want you to visit a bit about the Bluebird Association.
Yeah, I'm president of a group called the Iowa Bluebird Conservationists. We're a fairly small group, but we've got a number of people that have been with it since day one, and Donna Reimers is one of the ones that got the program started down in Griswold, and she's still very active with the organization. Unfortunately, the way the last year has been, we haven't done anything. We haven't met since I don't remember the last
time.
Well,
it's been over a year, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that was a safe thing and smart thing to do. But of course, we're all still doing our own things. You know, we all have our own trails. A lot of us have a trail that we monitor. Donna's actually got some boxes right across the street from us, so over at the AMU well fields that are up that she monitors every year. So we've all been doing that on our own. And a lot of our members maybe just have boxes at their house and they just have an interest in the conservation part of it. So normally we would meet four different times a year, kind of on a quarterly basis. Our most frequent meeting spot is the Indian Creek Museum down by Hastings, Iowa. They're always gracious enough to give us some space, and they do a Sunday breakfast every fourth Sunday of the month, so that's when we tend to meet because it's easy to have the breakfast and then have our meeting. And but then we'll also go around to some different parks, and if we ever get a project that we're going to meet up to do as well, we will put up some boxes and trails for other people also.
If people want to, well, I guess one other question about association. At this point, you don't have any plans for a future meeting. I know that'll happen sometime, but right now there's not a
not
date
at the
set.
Moment. Yep.
Okay. If somebody, a homeowner, somebody wanted to put up a bluebird box or build a bluebird box, where do they get that information? Because you got to have the right size and so on.
Yeah, yep. If you want to, if you're someone that uses the internet and you're on Facebook, you can find our page. We're Iowa Bluebird Conservationist. Just search it. And we get a lot of messages from people, especially this time of year, wondering about questions they have with their boxes. We can get you information. We've got all kinds of both in paper form and in sending you digital files as well on box plans, on nest plans. There's a number of different boxes that people like to use and try, and we can get you all those details. We do have access and connection to folks over in Nebraska. There's a group called Bluebirds Across Nebraska that helped our group get started, and they have a pretty active group that puts boxes together and has them for sale. So even if you go look them up, Bluebirds Across Nebraska, you can buy directly from them, and they'll ship them to you. So that's a resource to get to. And if you reach out to one of us, we'll find a way to get you that stuff too.
And I know a lot of people know Donna, and I'm guessing it's okay to contact you at KJAN.
Yep, that'll be all right.
So I want to talk about birds in more generally. If we are feeding birds during the winter time, should we continue to do that now?
Yeah, everybody has their, I think, opinions on that. It differs from people in the field, I guess. But I would say it's okay. You know, as long as you're not overdoing it, you know, don't provide a huge, you know, don't get all kinds of feeders and fill them up to the brim is kind of the idea. You want to kind of taper that a little bit so you're not always giving them that full huge resource. You want them to be able to go out and forage for stuff on their own, but you know, everybody likes to see them come to the feeders and see them. So,
I hear people talk about, you know, all the birds they're seeing come to their feeders. But then if you're going to do that, and I guess especially during the winter, it's really important then, isn't it, to be kind of consistent?
Yeah, that helps a lot because, you know, if they know that there's a food source there, that might be part of the reason why they stayed. There are some species that some will migrate south and some will hang around if they know that they've got water and they've got food. So if you're consistent with that, then, that'll help them a lot. And you want to make sure that you're, you know, keeping up with those feeders, you know, making sure that you are adding feed at certain times, but then also making sure that you're occasionally cleaning those things as well. There's been a number of different stories around the country recently, especially this year. For whatever reason, there's been some big outbreaks of salmonella, conjunctivitis, there's a number of diseases that can spread pretty easily from feeders if they're not cleaned. So that's something you want to do occasionally to make sure that you're providing a safe space.
And does that mean, I mean, getting the old stuff out, brushing it out, is it good to also maybe add a teaspoon of bleach to your water, you know, do a little sanitizing?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea to take them out and maybe just put them in a bin to soak for a little bit, you know, just like you would clean anything else. So, yeah, a little bit of bleach and dissolved in water and clean them out. Let them dry. Make sure that they're dry before you put feed back in them because then you're going to get issues with the feed spoiling. But just something to keep in mind, keep doing occasionally.
And what about source of feed? You know, where do I find good feed? How do I decide what I should have?
Yeah, there's a lot of places, of course, that you can reach out to. I know a number of area businesses sell feed. There's a company in Des Moines that's pretty popular that I know R&B Feeds here locally has a connection with that they sell some of their stuff. But it depends on what you're trying to attract. Mm-hmm. I would just do some research, and most of the time the packaging itself is going to tell you this is what kind of birds it's going to attract more. I would just recommend you stay away from stuff that has a lot of filler. If there's stuff that has a lot of millet, that's usually one that's pretty popular just to fill the bag and make it more weight, and the birds don't really care for it. They just will scatter it all over the place instead. So I would try to stick to, usually the best ones to stick to are whole black sunflower seeds. Cracked corn can be popular. Whole peanuts can be very popular for blue jays as well, or shelled peanuts as well. And then things like safflower, the pure you know, seeds that'll be popular.
So, in fact, you're probably really getting more for your money when you.
Yeah.
I mean, it may
yeah.
look may it'll look more expensive, yeah. but you're really getting more for your
exactly.
money. And if I haven't seen the birds that I'm used to seeing, where are they?
Yeah, everybody's been asking us that on our Facebook page. It's just been a weird spring. It's been cold. You know, it hasn't gotten really warm. The migration's been really delayed. I know within the last week, though, they've started to see the radar maps really showing huge migration.
Okay.
So you're going to start to see those birds you may have been missing here
okay,
real soon.
Okay, great. And I think if people have questions about birds, here's one of our experts right here. We appreciate you getting in today. Thanks so much, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Lon.
Until next time, here's the thought. Sometimes people don't care how much you know, they just need to know you care.